We've heard the sounds of jaguars, birds, and beavers. Now, try imagining the sounds of hideous, monstrous beings which are so strange that no language can properly describe them. Dean Lockwood is a senior lecturer in media theory at the University of Lincoln in the United Kingdom. He's also the author of an essay called Mongrel Vibrations, H.P. Lovecraft's Weird Ecology of Noise. Lockwood talks about the central role that sound plays in H.P. Lovecraft's weird fiction.
In Lovecraft stories, there's a lot of attention given to the possibility that our exposure to certain weird things in the world will drive us insane. There's that element of insanity. But I think that Lovecraft is perhaps more interested in our bodily responses to horror, affect. So he talks about the way in which sounds, for example, have a kind of physical impact. He describes sounds that are not really sounds, that are something else. He describes them as sense impacts. So I think rather than sound, Lovecraft is really interested in vibration, in some kind of alien vibration flooding our bodies.
And you say that Lovecraft actually defined the weird in sonic terms. What was it exactly that he said?
He says that we should understand the weird as an attitude of awed listening, as if we were listening for the beating of black wings or some kind of scratching at the edge of the known universe.
That's scary, isn't it?
It is.
Sound somehow brings it home. We've all felt vibrations and wondered about them.
That's right. When we see something, it's as if we master it. We have some kind of protection. We're distant from it. Vision seems to presuppose a certain distance from the phenomenon that we're witnessing. But with sound and this vibratory aspect of sound, it moves through us, it's proximate, it's within us. So you can't stand back from a sonic horror. It floods you, it sweeps through your body.
You also refer to the fantasy writer Fritz Lieber, who thought that Lovecraft was the Copernicus of horror fiction.
Yeah, because he turns everything around. For Lovecraft, the horror is really the cosmos that we find within ourselves. It's the black gulf, the interstellar gulf within humanity. There's something non-human, something alien that's at the heart of our existence. And all of his best stories, I think, are encounters with this otherness, this weirdness within.
Well, let's talk about some of the stories, because it's the best way to define it. One of his most famous is called The Call of... This is a word that everybody disagrees on the pronunciation of.
Sure.
I've always said Cthulhu. Is that close?
I would say Cthulhu, I mean, yeah. So these words are a nice device for alienating us from our own speech, our own language.
It's almost easier to see on the page, isn't it? Because the C-T-H-U-L-U, it's almost frightening in of itself.
That's right.
And he uses that sound within his stories, doesn't it? He distances us from our reality by refusing to use just the words we know.
That's right. Part of the experience of reading Lovecraft is to try and get your head around this language, this strange form of expression. And it's not just the individual words or the alien languages that he's invented. It's actually a matter of his style as well. One of the things about Lovecraft is that he has a certain notoriety for being an appalling writer, which I think is probably quite mistaken. I think there's something quite deliberate in the way that his convoluted, contorted style is again a way of introducing a certain kind of alienation into the reading experience.
Well, there's a quote from him that you have in your essay. There are vocal qualities peculiar to men and vocal qualities peculiar to beasts, and it is terrible to hear the one when the source should yield the other. Again, it's taking us out of our comfort zone with common language.
Yeah, the alien presences, the monsters within Lovecraft, the various entities, one of the things that they tend to have in common is that they inveigle themselves into human communities. They imitate human behavior, human language, and human speech. So in a story such as The Whisper in Darkness, it's precisely about discovering that those around you are imposters and that there's something very wrong with them. This idea of mongrel vibrations, there's something mongrel or mixed about humans, that they have this element of alienness within them, which in Lovecraft often manifests in very disturbing ways. It's well known that he was extremely racist. It could be interpreted, this kind of fear of the alien and this preoccupation with the alien, is an inflection of that racist, but it becomes something else, I think. It becomes something more kind of existential, you might say.
That's bad enough, but he goes beyond that, doesn't he? And it is that sound that taking it into an era that all of us find a little irritating. He especially found insect sounds. Well, maybe he found them appealing. I don't know.
I think it's because he is interested in this idea of the strange cosmos in which we find ourselves. That's why I talk about weird ecology. Our lives are entangled with really unsuspected forms of life, ways of being, ways of sensing, new sensations. And one of the ways he figures these new sensations is through imagining a kind of insectile form of life. So insects are his monsters, his creatures. They speak in ways which betray their kinship with insects. So they speak and the language breaks down into a kind of buzzing or rasping, as if they were insects, really.
In this story, in fact, one of the characters makes phonograph recordings, doesn't he? And hears that insectile drone behind the words that he's recording?
That's right.
Yeah, Shub Nigurat. The black goat of the woods with a thousand young.
I mean, that's another interesting aspect of Lovecraft, which is not often remarked upon. He's interested in new technologies, in media, and also in the ways in which they are alienating in their own right. So these technologies are used in order to record and to make our lives easier and more efficient, but they also have their alien aspects as well.
And in that story, the beings, are they insects?
They're a strange amalgamation of insects. He describes them as having bat wings and having torsos like flying prawns. They're a strange hybrid, a strange chimera of different animal parts that together make up something that is completely unknown.
This, too, isn't exactly new, although he developed it quite well. This is maybe along the lines of Jussi Parikka's idea of insect media.
Yeah. Well, I think Lovecraft is a source of great interest to many academics in different disciplines today. And I think Jussi is also interested in horror and science fiction and draws on some of those forms of expression and some of those figures in order to think about the reality of our lives with contemporary forms of media, new forms of media. And really enlarging our notion of what media are and what technology is, and maybe other forms of life that share the world with us, are also forms of media, forms of technology.
Well, you talk about Lovecraft's attraction to new media, his understanding of and use of the phonograph recording, for instance, but also his fear of it. There's another story that you wrote about, Beyond the Wall of Sleep, and that one he imagines, what, a cosmic radio apparatus? What's that?
Well, it's a device which facilitates telepathy and access to these realms beyond, to these spaces that are around us all the time, but our senses aren't equipped to detect. So he imagines that a new technology could be invented which plugs us into those weird realms around us, which is a frightening prospect. Often Lovecraft is made sense of in terms of being a kind of response to society and politics around him, the First World War, for example, or changes in capitalism. But also, I think one of the things that's rarely remarked upon is that the year that he really starts to write his best-known cosmic horror stories, which is 1926, with Call of Cthulhu, was also the year in which the first national network radio station in America began broadcasting. So the great phase of cosmic horror in Lovecraft's writing coincides with really the inception of commercial radio broadcasting, which he never actually overtly discusses, but it must have had a huge impact upon him. Suddenly these radio sets within the home, the tentacles of commerce creeping into everyday life, a kind of living with this new kind of noise, if you like. I suspect that given Lovecraft's interest in science and technology, was something that filters through into his stories.
Dean Lockwood is the author of the essay Mongrel Vibrations, H.P. Lovecraft's Weird Ecology of Noise. The essay is featured in the book Reverberations, The Philosophy, Aesthetics, and Politics of Noise.